comes set. Kicks the 1-1 pitch. Fly ball deep left field. Yes, sir. There she goes.
Hello and welcome, Blue Jay fans, to episode 14 of There She Goes, a weekly Blue Jay podcast for all things Blue Jays. We are recording this on June 22nd, 2017. I'm Mark from 360 Blue Jays News and Bluebird Banter. We're joined, as always, by Everything Blue Jays and Blue Jays Nation. Today, we'll be talking about some of Kevin Pillar's struggles at the plate, Michael Saunders and how he was designated for assignment by the Phillies, and whether the Blue Jays should potentially pick them up, and then we'll be talking about Joe Biagini and his transition to the rotation.
Yes, so I'm going to start things off with Michael Saunders, and as most of you know, or maybe if you don't know, Michael Saunders was designated for assignment a couple days ago by the Philadelphia Phillies, and I've been thinking about the possibility of bringing Saunders back, but I've made it, I've made a choice, or my opinion. I don't think it's good, but I wanted to get your opinions on Michael Saunders. Obviously, Saunders had he had a very good first half of the season last year with the Blue Jays. Before the All-Star break, he was batting .298, and obviously that was very good. And post the All-Star break, he kind of fell down to earth pretty fast. The possibility of his first half of the season being a fluke. And it kind of carried over to this season as he was barely hitting above .205. He had 6 home runs and 20 RBIs, and it kind of shows that maybe his first half of the season last year was a fluke, as his OPS as well was .617, which is not the best. But I just wanted to get your opinion on if you think the Blue Jays should consider bringing back Michael Saunders, just because the Blue Jays have a hole in left field, and yeah.
I definitely think they should not bring him back. Right now, even with the hole in left field, you know, you have Steve Pierce back. He's hitting well. He got a hit in yesterday's game, even though he's potentially injured now. You have Dwight Smith Jr., who's been called up, and he's been performing well so far, although that may change. I definitely think they should not try to acquire Michael Saunders. Even if they do, though, it's not the end of the world. He is potentially a good acquisition. He would definitely be cheap. You may have mentioned this. He's hit .205 so far this season, an on-base percentage of just .257 in 61 games, 214 plate appearances. He has walked only 13 times and struck out 51 times, which is just an awful ratio, and that is the main reason why I wouldn't want to bring him back. His batting average on balls in play is about average, I believe, so I definitely do not want to see him back in Blue Jay uniform, but again, like I said, it's not the end of the world if he comes back.
Short answer, I 100% do not think the Blue Jay should sign Michael Saunders. You know, he's, in my opinion, a mediocre to bad player at best. I mean, he's not, like, last season he was extremely good at the start of the season, and then he was just awful. I think he ended up having a season average of like .250 or something like that, but that really kind of showed how one season, or one half of the season, he was extremely good, and then one half of the season he was awful. So it kind of just averaged out to be a league average, I guess. But yeah, his average is .205 in his 200 at bats, which is pretty bad. Let's face it. He's not the greatest defender. He's not the fastest guy on the base path. So, I mean, I really don't see any reason why the Blue Jays should want to sign him, unless they're just looking for extra depth, in their minor league system. But yeah, I really don't think they should sign him or even consider it.
Going back to your opinion on Michael Saunders as well, to add that he is also not the best outfield, or I should say defender. His defensive WAR is -0.3, and obviously when your WAR is negative, that's a red flag right there. And obviously, the Blue Jays, I think, also have better options in the farm system when it comes to defensive play as well. I really like Dwight Smith Jr. I really hope maybe there's a chance he can stay up with the team. and looking maybe at other outfielders on the team like Ezekiel Carrera. He obviously isn't the best outfielder as well, but Michael Saunders just is not as good of an outfielder as Ezekiel Carrera. As well, Steve Pierce, obviously he got hurt yesterday, but he's obviously not the best defensive outfielder as well. But I just think that the Blue Jays also have better options than trying to get Michael Saunders back.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to another outfielder with the Blue Jays, Kevin Pillar. In June, he's been flat out awful. I don't know how else to put it. We were just talking about Michael Saunders being bad with a .205 batting average. Pillar has a .173 batting average in June. He had a .301 batting average in April and March, but that went down about 50 points in May, and it's down about 70 points again into June. His batting average on balls on in play, which generally sits around 300, I talked about this with Michael Saunders, generally when a player hits a ball into play, that batting average on that ball will be 300. So Kevin Pillar is hitting .203 on batting averages on balls in play in June and .267 in May, but he was hitting .325 in April. So I'm not sure whether he's actually performing worse, but he's definitely has a lower BABIP in June, which indicates that he has not had good luck. Moving on to hard contact, which is another indicator of how bad he's performing or why he's performing bad. He had a 31.8% hard contact in April, 28.9% in May, and 31.7% in June, which doesn't really indicate anything. He certainly had less contact in those months, but when he has made contact, he's been hitting the ball hard. So that leads to the conclusion that generally he's striking out more. He's not he's not making contact as much. He is swinging less at balls within the strike zone just in general. In the end, do you think guys think Pillar can rebound from his struggles, or is he kind of stuck in this mode of missing pitches and he's reverted to his old 2016 self?
I really have no clue what's going on with Pillar right now. Looking at his last 10 games going back to June 10th, which 9 of those games were starts. I'm including the game yesterday where he had one at-bat. He hasn't had less than 4 at-bats in each of those previous 9 games. And he has also, so he's had either 5 hits or 4 hits, and he has only had about 1 to 2 hits each game, which just indicates that he's just clearly not seeing the ball very well. I really think that his suspension did something to him, because he doesn't look very comfortable at the plate anymore. He looks anxious. He looks like he's swinging at pitches out of the zone, or checking his swing but going around. You know, he just does not look like he's having the same success, or he's feeling like he's having the same success as he did in April and May. I hope he can rebound from this. I'm thinking maybe sitting him out a few games would help. He sat out yesterday but had to come in because Steve Pierce hurt himself, but I would like to see Pillar, and I know this probably is not going to be loved upon other people, but I'd like to see him sit out a few games just to clear his head, clear something so he can just rebound, because you look at how the Blue Jays play, you know, going back to 2015, just for reference, you know, games that the Blue Jays would win before Pillar was their leadoff hitter, you'd have guys like Jose Reyes and Devin Travis, you know, as their leadoff hitter, and when they would be hitting, well, that's when the Blue Jays would be winning, and when they would struggle, the Blue Jays would struggle to score runs as a team, and, you know, when your leadoff guy's not getting on base, you know, that's a big red flag, so I'm hoping Pillar can improve himself, because this is definitely something that he needs to fix, and the Blue Jays, you know, they're going to struggle until he doesn't correct his mistakes, in my opinion.
Yes, so going back to Kevin Pillar, obviously he has struggled, as Blue Jays Nation and 360 mentioned, and each month he seems to be, well, I should say April, May, and June, the first 3 months of the season, he has been going down with his average as well as his on-base percentage, and obviously he was He was outstanding in the month of April, batting .301. And then May came and he kind of cooled down a little bit, but he was still producing. And then after a suspension, he kind of just went completely downhill. And his average in the month of June is .173. And yeah, Kevin Pillar has been chasing a lot. He's been looking like the 2016 Pillar. Looking at his advanced hitting stats, his strikeout percentage is at 15%. And that is obviously not the best looking at his career stats. And also Pillar has been hitting, he's been swinging outside of the strike zone a lot. And outside of the strike zone, his swinging percentage is 35%, which is obviously less than last year, but only 2% less than last year. So obviously during the month of June, he has been looking a lot like the 2016 Kevin Pillar. And he has been actually been kind of doing worse. He just looks a little frustrated and anxious, as a couple days ago on Blue Jays Central, it showed Kevin Pillar at a 2-0 count, and then he kind of just kept chasing for balls, and that's what Kevin Pillar has been like in the month of June. He's been getting ahead of the counts, and he's been just swinging at pitches that are nowhere near the strike zone that are pretty much costing him and getting him outs, and obviously that kicked him out of the leadoff spot, as Jose Bautista is now the new leadoff man, and I'm assuming Kevin Pillar will drop to the bottom, the bottom third of the order. But yeah, I hope Kevin Pillar can get out of this. I remember mentioning on the podcast when he got suspended that I was kind of worried that this would kind of impact his groove, and it looks like it has. But hopefully Kevin Pillar can snap out of this going into the month of July.
So yeah, moving on to our third topic, we'll be discussing Joby Egini, kind of doing a little scouting report on him. And since he's been put into the rotation, so he has a 2-6 ERA with a 4.45 ERA and a 1.18 WHIP, which is not great among, you know, some of the top pitchers or starters who are supposed to be starting. But you know, I think it's they're solid numbers considering he was just put into the rotation randomly, or once Aaron Sanchez got injured, and he's really only had like two bad starts. One was against the it's not coming to the top of my head right now, but or it was against the Braves, sorry, where he gave up like six runs in the first inning, and then the second bad game was against the White Sox, which he obviously was not. He was like giving up like six or seven runs in the two innings, I believe, and then. But he's also kind of pitched into some bad luck with, and what I mean by that is there's been errors, some on Biagini, some on the other team, or the rest of the team. And also there's been games that the team just didn't score any runs for him. Like one game that comes to mind is the game against Texas where Biagini, I believe, only gave up one earned run, and two came because of errors, but the team only scored one run, and that was a 3-1 loss. And yeah, so wins, in my opinion, don't really matter for this reason because, you know, you look at Roberto Osuna back in 2015, I believe he was 2-6, but he was the Blue Jays' closer, and he was dominant even though he did pick up losses. And for Biagini, I really don't think losses or wins and losses mean anything. Yeah, I think he's pitched pretty solid. He's really meant to be a starter in the future. He will definitely start in the future. You look at guys like Marco Estrada, Jay Happ, and Francisco Liriano, all veterans set to become free agents with it. Well, Liriano and Estrada this year, and then Happ after next season. And I really don't think any of them will be back within the next, like, or in a few years, like to say 2 or 3 years, neither of them will be on the team. So that leaves three spots in the rotation, including Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman. So I do think Biagini will be a starter in the future. One positive thing that I've noticed is he has pitched a lot deeper into games as the season progresses. And just looking a little sample size, since May 7th, he went from pitching 4 to 5 innings max, which I believe was in his first 3 or 4 starts, or 2 to 3 or something like that. And then now he's pitching 6 to 7 innings each game, and that does not include the short start against the White Sox. You know, that was an outlier for me. But yeah, I really do think Joe Biagini has a bright future in the rotation, and overall, I'm pretty happy to see how he's progressed. And, you know, what do you guys think? Do you think he's pitched well? Do you think he's struggled? Like, what are your overall thoughts on him?
Yeah, I think Joe Biagini's done pretty good. after transitioning to a starter starting the year in the bullpen. I'm just going to look at his numbers from this month. He's made four starts this month, and all of his starts he's recorded, or I should say allowed, at least three earned runs, and his ERA of June is 6.10. So obviously he hasn't had the best month, and he's definitely been having some shaky outings. But yesterday he was okay, not the best. Obviously he went 5 2/3, and he allowed four earned runs, like I said. And I just want to look at some of his numbers from this year compared to last year. Biagini, let's see here. Biagini has a 20.3 strikeout percentage, and last year his strikeout percentage was 21. So, I mean, he's keeping his numbers up there compared to being a starter this year. So I just think it's kind of bad luck that's what's happening to Biagini. He's also walking less people, and his line drive percentage has gone from 21.5 to 14.3, which is obviously a good sign, as Joe Biagini's been allowing less line drives. And his ground ball percentage has gone up from 52.2 to 58.2. So he's been allowing more ground balls, and his fly ball percentage has also gone up by around 1%. So I just think Joe Biagini has some minor things to fix when he transitions into a full starter, which will most likely be next year. But I don't think it's nothing to worry about. Biagini as a starter, as of now, as Aaron Sanchez is getting closer and closer to a return. So I've been very happy with Joe Biagini. I think he's done a wonderful job filling in the last rotation spot, especially with all the Blue Jays injuries this year. I don't think you would have asked for anything more from Joe Biagini. I just think that these things, he needs to improve on a couple of things mechanically going into the winter and next spring.
Yeah, I agree with you. He has not been the best starting, especially in June, but he hasn't been awful. And certainly for his first stint starting at the major league level, he's been doing an admirable job for the Blue Jays, filling in for Aaron Sanchez and a few of the other injured pitchers in the rotation. I don't know how much else there is to say about this. He's been pretty good. He didn't have his best start last night as we're recording this. He gave up four earned runs. But overall, I would say he's performed well, and he has impressed those who maybe didn't know how good he could be.
Yes. So just before we go, another topic to talk about, and that's Jose Bautista. As we all know, we got the news yesterday that Kevin Pillar will no longer be the Blue Jays leadoff man going forward. It'll be Jose Bautista, followed by Russell Martin as well. He will move up to the second spot, and that'll drop Josh Donaldson to third, and Justin Smoke and Kendrys Morales will swap spots, which means Smoke will not be hitting cleanup, and Morales will be hitting fifth. So obviously the Blue Jays they've been struggling to get out to early leads and to produce as many runs as it seems last year, as it seems they haven't been hitting the ball well. And last night it clearly worked, as they scored 6 runs in the first inning from their new lineup. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you think of the new lineup, and do you think it'll be able to maintain itself throughout the season?
I definitely like the new lineup personally, because the Blue Jays were definitely struggling with Kevin Pillar in the leadoff. We were just talking about how Kevin Pillar himself was struggling in the leadoff position. So I definitely think it's a good idea to get him out of there, give him some days down the lineup, have him figure some things out. He got a hit or two yesterday, I believe. So maybe perhaps already Pillar is figuring things out. And we saw it definitely worked. The Blue Jays scored 7 runs yesterday. I don't know whether that's a statistical anomaly or not, but it certainly helped, and I like the idea that they're kind of changing things around and figuring out what works.
Yeah, I agree with what you guys are saying. Moving players around in the lineup is definitely worked last night, and we'll see about what it does today as the Blue Jays play the Rangers. I like moving guys up. You know, Bautista is not your typical leadoff hitter, but I mean, somebody's got to do it on the Blue Jays, and I guess he just kind of put there because he had some time in it last year. The one thing that I do like is moving Justin Smoke and Steve Pierce up. Pierce has been fairly hot. I think he's hit at least like 3 doubles or something like that in the last 2 games, or 2, I can't remember exactly. But he's definitely heating up lately, so he definitely deserves to be hitting maybe 5th or 6th rather than 7th or 8th in the lineup. And Justin Smoke hitting cleanup is a better idea, because you have let's face it, he's the best hitter the Blue Jays have right now, and to have him hitting 5th means, you know, he's not as likely to you know, hit with runners on base, you know, likely, or you'd ideally like to have hitters like Smoke or guys that are very hot hitting somewhere in an order where you can get them up to bat with guys on base. So that I'm definitely a fan of. Moving Kevin Pillar, I think it's time. Like I said, I'd like to see him sit out for a few games just to figure things out. But, I mean, I guess that's not what John Gibbons has in mind. Yeah, we'll see how Kevin Pillar does. He did have a hit in his only at-bat yesterday. And yeah, I mean, other than that, I can't really think of any idea or anything bad about jumbling up the lineup. I mean, it clearly wasn't working for them. What they had currently wasn't working for them. So, I mean, change stuff up, and it worked yesterday. So let's see what it does today.
Yeah, going back to the new lineup, obviously the main point of this is to get the Blue Jays early base runners. And Jose Bautista, his on-base percentage this year is .334. And compared to last season, his on-base percentage was .366. So clearly Bautista hasn't been getting on-base as much this year. But Kevin Pillar's on-base percentage has been .303. So, I mean, I guess the Blue Jays really think they can improve it. And yet, last night that was the case as Bautista reached first base. It was a walk, I'm pretty sure. And also, I'm not too sure about Russell Martin, though, hitting second. I don't see the point of it. I really like Josh Donaldson hitting second. But yeah, going back to your point, I really like Smoke and Morales switching. His Smoke's had an unbelievable year, pretty much surpassing all of his numbers from last year. And he hasn't even played half of a season yet. And yes, so Steve Pierce also, he's been awesome since coming off the DL. But I'm worried about him losing his groove since he injured his knee last night, and they're saying day-to-day, so who knows how long that can be. But yeah, at the end of the day, though, I think the main point of this, and it should have been, and it's kind of easy to figure out, is that the Blue Jays need leadoff base runners, and I really think Jose Bautista can do the job for now, as he did pretty good yesterday, and hopefully he can do good again today. But yeah, that's my thoughts on the lineup.
Yeah, it makes sense. I guess I understand why you maybe wouldn't want Russell Martin in the second spot. I read an article recently on Bluebird Banter. Someone was writing about how Russell Martin should, in fact, be the leadoff hitter because he gets on base so much. He had a .348 on base percentage or something when this article was written, and he walks a lot in addition to his hits. He doesn't hit for average as much as maybe another player would, but he definitely gets on base as much, and I understand why he's that high in the lineup. But I think we'll wrap things up there. Thank you for everyone who listened to episode 14 of There She Goes, a weekly Blue Jay podcast for all things Blue Jays. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Play. I'm Mark from 360 Blue Jays News and Bluebird Banter. We were joined, as always, by everything Blue Jays and Blue Jays Nation. Thank you for listening. Let's play ball. Okay, Blue Jays. Let's play ball. It's so beautiful.